You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Lorenzo Triburgo. Lorenzo, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Brainerd. This is awesome. Glad to be here.
So, Lorenzo, I want to talk about your work, what you're doing now, and where are you? Are you in Brooklyn at the moment? Are you in New York?
Yeah, I'm in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
So what's happening at the moment? I know a lot about your work, and we could get into different aspects of it, but to begin, what's happening at the moment that you're working on?
Yeah, actually, a lot going on right at the moment. It's one of those times, as you know, these things kind of, the flow. Sometimes, you know, there's just moments where everything is happening at once, and I'm kind of in one of those right now, and I kind of thrive in those moments. I kind of love it, actually. My partner and I just screened our collaborative video a few times, like three times in June. That's Monumental Resistance Stonewall. So we did a screening of that at the LGBTQ Center. We call it the Center in the West Village, the sort of historical LGBTQ Center in the city. We also did it at the Baxter Street Gallery in Chinatown, and then we also screened it at this event called Speak Out, which is an event run by Video Out, which is an organization that collects stories by queer people and makes videos of them. But they have an amazing archive online, but they also do once a year these Speak Out events where, a few LGBTQ people are invited to share their stories. So I was one of the featured storytellers, and then we screened Monumental Resistance Stonewall there. And then we've been doing sort of like guerrilla-style screenings in the city, and I think we were originally just going to do that for like a month, but we're actually going to probably do that like probably throughout the year. That project, Monumental Resistance Stonewall, was created during Pride last year. I stood in front of the Stonewall Inn for 24 hours, and we created like over 3,500 images, and then we made like a time-lapse video of that 24 hours. So there's stills and video, and we released it this year for the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. And honestly, we've just been having so much fun, like bringing it onto the subway, and then we brought it to the, like the New York Public Library and screened it against one of the Lions. And so I think we're probably just going to do that like throughout the year, and then bring it to other locations too. So that's been awesome. And then I'm actually curating my first show, and that opens this Friday. So over the last couple of days, I've just been installing that show, and that show is called Criminalize This, and it's the idea for that came from my project Policing Gender, which addresses mass incarceration from a queer perspective. So that's kind of where my head's at right now. Yeah.
So let's talk about both of those things. That's cool. Criminalize This. Tell me a little bit about what's in that show, and a little more about it, because that taps into, of course, a lot of your older work. So tell me a little about Criminalize This.
Yeah, so a conversation between the gallery director, it's at Amos Eno Gallery in Bushwick. A conversation. Mary Gagler is the director of the gallery, and we just had a conversation like a year ago about policing gender, and then she asked me if I would want to be a guest juror, and I said, for a show, and I said yes, and then it actually turned into, the more we talked about it, we thought, well, let's actually invite, a small number of artists to sort of form the conceptual framework of the show and then do an open call based on that. It's been a really interesting process, and I've actually really loved it. So we have like 74 artists in the show that were chosen sort of, again, like, well, the art, you know, the it's called Criminalize This, and the theme of the show is the social policing of gender and the criminalization of queerness. So what happens as you look at the show is that we can kind of see the way that gender policing, sort of scaffolds to create a system and a culture that criminalizes queerness, right?
So wait, I want to go on with this, but I don't want to stop you too much. But this is a show that you're not only in, but you curated. So there was an open call, and there's a number of artists contributing to this. Is that correct?
I did not put myself in it, actually. So it's a show that I'm curating.
Okay, so go on. So we're talking about policing and profiling and criminalizing queerness.
Yeah.
So, tell me a little bit more about that. And of course, some of the work in the show, too, I'd love to hear about. But go on.
Yeah, so, the Criminalize This is the show that I'm curating, and it's really looking at, so the artist kind of responded to both aspects of it. So there's works that that deal directly with the sort of, the prison system. For example, we have Julie Green, who's known for her series called The Last Supper, where she makes paintings of the last meals of prisoners who have been killed by capital punishment in the U.S., and she has like 800 of these, and it's an ongoing, long-term process. We have some new work from Julie Green, for example, so it's like very directly dealing with the prison system. And then we have, works like Slava Magutin is in the show, and his works are kind of deal with like stigma and desire, and so that's really more about. And also Slava Magutin notably is the first Russian to be granted political asylum in the U.S. on the grounds of homophobic prosecution. So it's this, I'm hoping as a curator to draw these connections between the sort of direct criminalization of queerness, the ways in which, like Slava, the way that persecution happens, but also within the U.S., for example, queer youth are more likely to spend time in detention centers. They get longer sentences. Anyway, so kind of those direct things. But then kind of for me, what's really important here is to link that to the ways that sort of everyday gender policing contributes to an overall culture that supports that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but let's jump into that a little bit more. So, because all these artists are reacting to it and supporting this this fact, how does that happen? And what other ways does that happen? I mean, can we talk about some everyday circumstances, some things that are going on? You mentioned children, youth, getting longer sentences.
Yeah.
What else is happening, like, in the kind of daily system that criminalizes queerness that we could...
I don't know,
we talk about in terms of an example or a group of people or a city.
Yeah, I mean, so right now, one horrifying statistic is that trans women of color have a life expectancy of 35 years old, right? So that is in large part due to violence against them. And a lot of that violence actually comes, it's like state sanctioned violence, right? So, dying at the hands, dying once within the system. LGBTQ prisoners are kind of suffer higher rates of violence and sexual violence. Trans women of color are often targeted by the police for prostitution, for example, which A, shouldn't be illegal. B, that's often entrapment that gets people in those situations. So things like that. But
So go on. And the artworks obviously in here are all touching on that as well as.
But then thinking about, just things like. I'm just trying to think like some of the more like subtle tacit agreements that we have. So Peter Clow's work, for example, he creates these like scaffolds and then creates miniatures of himself, places within there. And it's almost like imagining a different way of seeing or a different way of being. And so I wanted to also draw these connections between the, or like create a space where you walk in and yes, there's this like the overarching theme is about like this criminalization, but there's also like a pushback. And a lot of the pushback is very bright and engaging and campy. And it almost like, and as I'm installing the show, it's really exciting because it like feels like you can feel the sort of like resistance throughout the show. And that feels really good. So it's not only about these things, but about the way that we resist those, you know, phenomena and create spaces for ourselves as queer people and queer artists.
Right. That's wonderful that the show is happening and that you're doing it. And I want to talk a little bit about the film you've been screening, but to step back from this whole issue, there's the show, but this is obviously a political issue. There's, you know, the show is arguably activist. Is there any change being made in terms of the justice system and awareness? Because part of course, what art does, what curating does, is bring an awareness to these issues. Is there any awareness that's making things change on the level of the criminal justice system?
There are. So I think so. Part of that change is really about the awareness, like you're talking about. So when I was creating Policing Gender, which is the project that I mentioned earlier, I was really thinking about this very issue, the fact that mass incarceration is, you know, in my opinion, sort of a crisis of our time, and it's so intentionally invisible and hidden. So, like, you know, each prison and jail, every facility has their own, like, warden, and they get to make up their own rules for journalism, right? So even, like, sort of free speech and access to these places is under, like, a different jurisdiction. They get to make up their own rules, and so it's so hidden, and yet they're, you know, there's facilities like in Manhattan, you know, so it's like right under our nose, but also so hidden. And so the awareness piece is really important. And I think that organizations like Critical Resistance, who have been, and Black and Pink, who have been around for, you know, over a decade, have really pushed the fact that I could say mass incarceration, and probably you and I would guess most of your listeners, like, are aware of that issue, right? Everyone at this point is aware that the U.S. has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. And I feel like the fact that that's a known piece of information is due to the fact that that activists have been pushing and working to abolish prisons for decades, you know? And it's kind of coming to this point now where, yes, it's part of the conversation. It's part of the conversation in the Democratic candidate. Oh my gosh, what is it called?
The Democratic running candidate for president, the Democratic contender.
Yeah, like, feel like, so like the fact that like the prison system is even talked about at that level is important, and it's also should be noted that it's because these activists have been working to end, you know, to push that. So
So let's talk a little bit about the film. So these things are coming more into the public view, and it is true. I've already made waves, and as we're seeing, right, and even in this election, that's such a good point. So let's talk about the film that was screened all over the place, and it sounds and still being screened. And that, of course, was during Pride Month. So there, I imagine there was a lot of attention on that. And tell me a little bit about how that was received, because I imagine you had a great time with that, and obviously it was received well. But what was the conversation that it was generating, if that's appropriate?
Yeah,
was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. it was kind of interesting to go from policing gender to then this project. I think for Monumental Resistance Stonewall, it's actually really hard for me to separate out like the experience of screening it from the experience of actually standing in front of Stonewall during those 24 hours, if that makes sense.
Because, yeah.
So while I was standing there, and Sarah Van Dyke, my partner and collaborator on that project, was obviously there too. But I'm standing there in the same spot, 24 hours, and we must have talked to thousands of people. I mean, this was Stonewall during Pride Weekend of 2018, and so there were visitors, from all over the world coming to this place, and we kind of, when we created the project, when we were talking about the sort of the formulation of it, it really started because we were talking about resistance fatigue. Do you know what I mean? And so I was thinking about I want to make a project that's about resistance fatigue. And so I was thinking, how do I do that? And it just kind of became this like durational performance where I want to stand there, I want to be there for 24 hours, and really just be a representation that if we stand together as a community, we can keep fighting forward for things like prison abolition. That we need to think about the politics of the Stonewall Uprising and really keep that momentum. And so that was sort of what we set out to do. And then, Brainerd, honestly, it was really a really beautiful experience because, as I was standing out there, the experience of standing there sort of became, I kind of lived through the metaphor that I was trying to create or that we were trying to create, because as I was standing there and, I would think about, oh my gosh, I set out to do 24 hours and I'm 11 hours in, and how am I going to do this? Am I just going to fail? As soon as I'm thinking that, someone would come over and give me a kiss on the cheek or give me a hug or cheer me on or just have a really engaging conversation with me about how, yes, marriage is not the end of our fight, and that, and that was really, really inspiring. I felt really upheld and literally supported by my community to do that project. And that was just kind of an unexpected, really beautiful life experience for me.
That is amazing. That's very exciting, and especially to come off of that. So you sound pretty high in this whole thing, right? That was a great series of screenings, and you're going to keep screening it. And when you keep screening this film, are you also going to keep doing that kind of almost like a performance of standing there and talking to people, or was that only because of Stonewall in that month?
No, I mean, definitely, if you can't tell already, I'm a person who likes to talk. So, no, definitely that's part of it, is about, engaging people in a that's kind of what I think in general, as an artist, right? That's what I feel like is important to me, is how do I engage people to have these conversations, whether it's just visual, whether it's a literal conversation, right? So so that's definitely part of it.
And it's really exciting what you're doing, and there'll be links to the show, so hopefully people can come see it when they hear this, that you've curated.
Cool.
And
yeah,
I want to ask you also what you're reading at the moment. I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Oh, well, thanks. Let's see. I'm actually rereading This Is an Uprising by Mark Engler and Paul Engler. That book reads like fiction, but it's a super approachable read, but it's how nonviolent revolt is shaping the 21st century. And they kind of go through and use case studies to talk about what's effective in revolt and what has worked. And it's really awesome. It's that's been really helpful. And that I like to think about that. And the impact of images and media to sway popular opinion and how that impacts policy change, but then how that also impacts like a deeper cultural change. I'm about to start reading Shimmering Images, which is a book by my friend, Eliza Steinbach. It's Trans Cinema, Embodiment, and the Aesthetics of Change. I picked this up earlier this year, but you know how things get. I'm also a teacher at Oregon State University, so this is like my summer reading. And then I randomly picked up this book. There's a really cool little used bookstore up the street, and it's called The Power. And I have no idea what it is, but I think it's sci-fi, and I haven't read much sci-fi. So it's called The Power. It's by Naomi Alderman, and it was recommended by Margaret Atwood, so I'm going to try it.
Lorenzo, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure. I wish you great success with your coming work.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.